The topic of the chiyuv of women in Neris Chanukah, and I'll probably take this today and a little bit of tomorrow. And it's a topic which goes to the nature of the marital relationship a little bit, so it has a connection to the overall theme of the Masechta that we're learning, Masechta's Kiddushin. It's important to note the context of where the Gemara talks about it in the Masechta Shabbos. And the issue is that it's hard to talk about this topic by itself because it intertwines with the same theme in other mitzvos, and therefore we have to borrow a little bit from those conversations in order to discuss this, which is also why it'll take us a drop more time than we have today. But I should also mention that in terms of synergizing with our whole year, so this topic is good for this semester because it's relevant to the family unit, but it's also good for, God willing, next semester. We want to skip over to Daf Chav Tes and get to the Mitzvah Saseh Shazman Grama Sugyas. So clearly there is
taking a stance already.
Right. Taking a stance that what? That
that it might have to do with Mitzvah Saseh Shazman.
Well, it certainly has what to do with it. Now, how much to do with it is the question, but certainly there is what to talk about. So I don't know, maybe not going too far out on the ledge to say that it's relevant. But the Gemara Masechta Shabbos, which as you saw, so the Gemara here in Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, it's a very, very short line. The only question is, how much of the line is relevant? So I'll tell you what I mean. That here on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, so the Gemara says, Isha Vadai Madlika. So a woman, definitely, she can light for sure. Dam Rav Shua Ben Levi, Noshim Chayavos B'nei Chanika, Sha'af Hein Hayu Bo'oso Hanes. Right, so that's it. Very brief reference. It adds up to, if you count fractions, it adds up to two lines. So the question is, how much is included in that line and how much is left out of that line? There's a lot that you could ask as a follow-up question, and there is a lot that's being conveyed in that short passage. Anyone want to get started? Yes, no.
What's exactly is the nature of women in this obligation?
Okay, meaning what?
Do they have the same chiyuv as men? Is it different altogether?
Okay, so that's a very good question. What exactly is the nature of the chiyuv? Do they have the same chiyuv or not? So do you see any hints here one way or another in what you see in this line?
Seems like they would have the same chiyuv, except for maybe the lashon of an av.
Okay, so let's just break that down. So first of all, it seems like it's the same. Why does it seem like it's the same? Because there's no real distinction drawn to the Gemara than say, they're kind of chayiv, they're sort of chayiv, they're chayiv this way and not that way. So it sounds like it's the same. But the question is, we have to understand, what is afen hayu boso hanes? That kind of sounds like they could have been left out, but because of this principle of afen hayu boso hanes, that's going to bring them back in. So that's something we have to figure out, whether that makes a difference. There were some other hands up that want to say something different, something... Same point? Okay. John, are you here in the post? Okay. No, why not?
A different question, but is the context, I guess you said the context is relevant, but the context of the machlokes about whether it's the mitzvah is halakha or hanacha had anything to do with...
Okay, that's not even what I was thinking of, but you're right that is an important point, so I'll flesh that in a second.
It's really how high they are, but when you say that badai madlika, so I guess badai is also interesting, but madlika, does that mean that she could fulfill... Or mitzvah, or should you fail for other people?
Okay, so that's certainly an important question. Right, I think I cut you off.
Oh, yeah, definitely she could fail for other people.
Okay, so that's certainly an important question, right? Is this just something that she does on her own behalf, or is this something she can do also on behalf of others? So,
is the focus about the hanacha versus the halakha, is that the same thing as... Is it in the house or in the person? Is that the same machlokas?
Okay, not exactly, but it's related. So that's a little bit what Noah brought up before. So the fact is, if you pull back a few lines in this Gemara and you include more, so you include the discussion, as you've noted, of hadlakos and mitzvah, hanachos and mitzvah, which maybe could be interwoven into this sugya. But even if you don't go back that far, so there's a reason to think that this Gemara is more expansive. Because the lines between Hadlaka and this, it's the flow out of Hadlaka osu mitzvah, but the line in between is, Hedlika chere shote v'katan lo osu v'lo klo. Shisha Vada Madrika. So if you have a Chayra show to a cotton doing the lighting, that is no good. But a woman, that for sure is good. So it sounds like we're not just talking about on their own behalf. Because a cotton can light on his own behalf, we're not going to disparage it and say it's nothing. Well, it's a little close. Right? Somebody who's potter for mitzvahs can volunteer to do a mitzvah, a cotton for sure, with a chinuch. There's no distinction drawn here yet about what age the cotton is. So the only reason we would want to kind of disparage their lighting is if we're talking about other people who have chiyuvim. And if we have a household where there are other people who are obligated, and you have, as the designee of the household, a chayr shofer or cotton, so then that's not going to be acceptable. But if it's an isha, it sounds like it's drawing in contrast to that. It sounds like the isha for sure is good. So therefore, pulling back that one line, at least, even without going to Habak or Hanukkah, but just even that one line, it seems like we're contrasting the Tereshu to the cotton, and presumably the relevance is, not only is it something she could volunteer to do on her own, but is it something that will be effective on behalf of the whole household? Joe,
yeah. How are you in that exactly?
Because the contrast was a sentence before, we just said, Tereshu to the cotton, their lighting is no good. So why do we need to know that? We know that Chayr Shot to the Kotten is positive for mitzvahs. Right. So if they choose to do a mitzvah on their own, so then it's worth whatever itself is. Mm-hmm. And a Kotten especially, who it could be Chayv and Chinuch depending on the age, so then it's worth itself. It doesn't have to have any relevance outside of its own action. So the only reason that sentence is important is if, let's say, we have a household and we know, and we're all familiar with the line, this is a fascinating sugya in itself, which we're only going to refer to in passing, but we know the Gemara says earlier that the Iker Mitzvah of Hanukkah is Ner Yishu Beiso, one candle per household. So maybe you might think, okay, let's let the little boy be the one to light on behalf of the household. So that's not going to be effective. So it sounds like we're contrasting that, and we're saying, no, that can't happen. But the Isha definitely can. So it seems like we're not just saying that she should light on her own behalf, right, but we're saying that if she lights on behalf of the whole family, that that's also acceptable.
But why can't it be that this mitzvah is, like, there's a din of light, for example, we have done it with Hach Techlarag, meaning there's some kind of component of others seeing it, and therefore the chiddush is that despite the fact that it should possibly just a mitzvah with others seeing it, and that's what kind of makes the mitzvah, then in this case, we would think to include them, and that's why we're excluding them, single also a little poem, even though it seems to be some kind of other mitzvah. And then it has nothing to do with lighting for others in their house.
You mean you're saying that we could maybe have a nafka mina that falls short of that? We could say that the question, let's say, brachas haroah, that if somebody else wants to recite a bracha on the candle, so maybe that only has to be a valid chalos shein candle, so okay, there's room to say like that, perhaps. And we'll see that there is a minority view in Rishonim that doesn't go this far, so maybe there is room to say like that. But I think the impression that most get, it seems to be the case, is that there's no distinction, lahalacha, between, if you can, let's say, have, let's assume here for a second, we're talking about the Ish Neri Shebeso standard, the one person is going to do it on behalf of the household, that there's no distinction whether it's going to be the woman or the man or any other adult in the household. So what other reason might there be to think there's a distinction? And this requires a little bakiyas, so it's not something that's obvious from the daf. But if you have knowledge of other similar mitzvos, so that might prompt you to imagine a distinction. Maury?
I was going to say that we have the Hakim with the Ram.
Okay.
The Ritva, who says there's the works by Hanukkah, you could, for whatever reason, have a woman good life for someone else, but by Mikra Megillah, you can't.
Okay, that's right. So
the logic is based on
the Ritva and Miyo.
Yeah.
Right, so there's where you require a little of outside knowledge. The question of how does this compare to Megillah? So just to give a little background about this, when it comes to Megillah, Megillah is a big fight. That basically the Gemara in Maseches Megillah and the Talmud, and also in the beginning of Maseches Erechin, there's a reference to this as well. So the Gemara tells us, Hakol Chayavim in Megillah, and it says, Afilu Isha. And there as well, so you have the principle of Af Hein Hayu Boso Hanes. So So there, one could get the impression that it means that women are equally chayavos. So therefore, if you need to designate someone to read the Megillah on behalf of the congregation, it could be a man, it could be a woman. And there are Rishonim, big Rishonim, who understand that way. Among those big Rishonim are Rashi, Rambam, right? They don't draw any distinction. And to say that women are chayavos in Megillah and can read on behalf of men. However, the halacha l'maisa, the Shulchan Aruch quotes a view that we don't allow women to read on behalf of men. Whose opinion is that? The Baha'i. Now the Baha'i, just to have a little background for this, this is a point Rav Shechter makes on occasion, that the Baha'i was clearly held in great esteem by other Rishonim. And you have a few cases in halacha where his view is really the minority view, but because of the respect that was given to him, so we factor his position into halacha, we take it into account, even though it may not necessarily really be the majority opinion. What's another prominent example of this? Sfiras Omer. The whole idea that it's so problematic to miss a day, which affects our practice of Sfiras Omer so profoundly, right? The whole idea that missing a day of Sfira is such a problem, that is the view of the Baha'i. Other Rishonim did not agree. But we show kavod to the Baha'i and we factor his opinion in issues like that. So there are a couple of instances where the Baha'i, despite being a minority view, is given great deference to halacha, and this is one of them, that there is a Tosfos in the Maseches Megillah. Someone mentioned the Mordechai, there are a few other Rishonim who quote the Baha'i as drawing a distinction. Now, part of the problem is also, so the Baha'i, when he's quoted by Rishonim, this comes up also in the Sfiras Omer Sugya, it's not always quoted the same way. So sometimes there'll be different nuances in terms of how the Baha'i's position is conveyed in different Rishonim. But in any event, so the view of the Baha'i is that there is some distinction that is drawn in the nature of the chiyuv of Megillah. And the way it's generally formulated is that women are chayavos in Shmias Megillah and not in Mikra Megillah. And men are obligated in Mikra Megillah. So therefore, yes, the woman is obligated to come to shul and hear Megillah, but she can't read the Megillah on behalf of the men, because that is what the Baha'i is getting at. The chiyuv is fundamentally different. And we know that in general, to be motzi somebody else through shomei ka'ona or related mechanisms, you have to be as obligated or more so than the person you are acting on behalf of. So therefore, if the chiyuv of the man is more inclusive than the chiyuv of the woman, so it sounds like the woman can read on behalf of the men. That's the view that emerges from the Baha'i. I'm using kind of hedging words because, again, the Baha'i is not 100% clear, and how exactly it formulates itself is a little bit subject to debate, but that's the view that emerges from the Baha'i, and that's what the Shulchan Aruch quotes. Now, one could say, all right, but then they can't read for women, but they can, for men, but they can read for women, and they can read for themselves because they're on the same level of chiyuv as other women. So there were those who maintained that position, and there were those who didn't accept that either. The Magen Avraham quotes the Medrash Melam that means that the women can't read Megillah for anybody, and that the nature of the chiyuv is to be a part of the audience. I believe that Rav Soloveitchik favored that understanding. There was a piece about it in the Masoret Journal where he discussed this, and he understood that the nature, we'll mention this explanation first because it's kind of the simplest, that the nature, and probably in some sense is the cleanest explanation, that it's not such a lumdish distinction, a mikra and shmia, but that it's simply exactly what it sounds like. Women are obligated to hear the Megillah. They don't have a role necessarily in reading the Megillah. So therefore it means that they have to come to shul and hear the Megillah, but they're not to be the ones reading the Megillah even on behalf of women. Hi.
Hi, Rabbi.
Hi.
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 Hi
How did Rav Lichtenstein get to that conclusion that women should read in like all women community?
I'm not sure. I'm not totally familiar with how he formulated that. I can't really speak to that. I'm not totally familiar with the position on that. But in the Masorah Journal, this is how Rav Soloveitchik was quoted. Again, if you want to come at it from a less lumdish perspective, kind of like from a more literal perspective, in a sense, this is the cleanest interpretation, that there's no halachic definition of mikra versus shmiya. It means exactly what it sounds like, that the men are the ones reading and the women are the ones listening. And there's also a svara to it also, that it means that the persona nisa of Megillah has to include the whole community. And that therefore, because of the persona nisa, women are obligated to be a part of the process and to come to shul for hearing of the Megillah. Okay, so far so good. But there are many others in between who didn't go as far as the Magen Avraham and the Rav and say that women shouldn't read for women, but they see it more technically and say, okay, there's some type of differently formed chiyuv, and that chiyuv means that women vis-a-vis other women are on the same level, but women as far as men are concerned, the chiyuv is less inclusive. Now, before discussing that any further, so the question is, does that have any relevance to Hanukkah? Is there any carryover to Hanukkah? So we've so far taken the position, probably not. Right? It seems like, for the most part, that we can read the Gemara and assume that there's no distinction, that there isn't any difference in terms of how this plays out. Right. If you look again in the, if you look in the Rambam, and you look in the Shulchan Aruch, you look at the way this din is brought, so there's no indication that there is any distinction as far as how it plays out. So I have Jesus Farm that we have here. So we have a Rambam Zmanin. Let's just read from there. And Hilchos Chanukah. Sorry? Gimel Halacha Daled. Kol Shechayiv B'Kriyas Megillah Chayiv B'Havakas Ner Chanukah. Okay, then the brachos, da-da-da. And that's basically all he has to say. So, it's a pretty brief formulation. So, on the one hand, he's not drawing any distinction, but on the other hand, what if there's a distinction in Megillah? Now, the Rambam himself doesn't make a distinction in Megillah, so it sounds like there shouldn't be a distinction here either. Do others make a distinction when it comes to Hanukkah? For the most part, not, but there is a minority view. Who quotes this minority view? The Meiri. The Meiri quotes a minority view that women only light on their own behalf, but not on behalf of anyone else. So what we need to try to understand, again, so we'll just go for a few more minutes now, and then Davin will spill this over to the beginning of tomorrow, is, first of all, if this is different than Purim, as the majority of you seems to be, so why is it different? And the minority view that draws a distinction, so why does it draw a distinction? Try to be open-minded and understand all sides. Try to understand why there is a distinction and why there's no distinction. So for that, we'll just spend a few minutes now and then we'll continue with this. What's the story with Purim? So why is there a distinction? So first, to mention the position of the Turiyavim, because this really goes to the core of one of the major elements of the sugya. And this is an explanation which is not really going to have such an impact on Hilchos Chanukah. Maybe that's the point. Now, when it comes to Purim, Purim is actually on a different level than Chanukah. Even though they're both Midrabanan, but there is a core difference in the authority of Purim. Because Purim has Psukim behind it. And Purim has scripture on its side, has Megillas Esther. And when you have a psukim, so psukim mean that there's extra chashivas. So the extra chashivas is called a divrei kabbalah. nothing to do with mysticism, but it means that it was received through the Nevi'im. And the Gemara, Masachas Rosh Hashanah, and Daf Yud Ches, the Gemara has a line, Divrei Kabbalah ki Divrei Torah Dami. Divrei Kabbalah are like Divrei Torah. And the Gemara has that in a very, very narrow context, possibly only applicable to that context. But others apply it more broadly. Among them, the Turi Eben. The Turi Eben was written by the author of the Shagas Aryeh. Right, so Shagas Aryeh lived in the late 1600s. He met Vilna Gaon, when Vilna Gaon was a young man, and Shagas Aryeh was an old man, so he overlapped. Vilna Gaon was born in 1720. So that was the lifetime of the Shagas Aryeh. So the Shagas Aryeh, in his Sefer, he wrote on six Masechtas in addition to the Sefer Shagas Aryeh. He has a Sefer Gvura Sari, which is on Yuma and Tainus and Makos. And he has a Sefer Turi Eben, which is on Megillah and Rosh Hashanah and Chagiga. And the Turi Eben kind of really redefined those Masechtas, made them very achronish. So the Turi Eben has a Yisod that he thinks Divrei Kabbalah is like Divrei Torah for all intents and purposes. It's a whole different level of authority than Drabbanan's. And it means, for example, Sveik Elahachim, that when you have a Safek by a Din in Divrei Kabbalah, we're Machmir like a Din Minat Torah. So that means that the mitzvot of Purim, the four mitzvot of Purim that are referenced in the end of Megillas Esther, have the status of Divrei Kabbalah, and therefore we treat them more stringently than we would a Din Rabban. So now, here's why his statement over here has a lot of relevance to us in Shabbos and Chanukah. Because what does Afen Hayavosu Hanes do? What does it mean, Afen Hayavosu Hanes? This, by the way, there's a chakir about this in the Brisker Rav and the Sefer on Erechim, which Noah is smiling about, so just be aware of. But what exactly is the mechanism of Afen Hayavosu Hanes? So what can you ask about how it operates?
No? Is it removing the barrier that Mitzvah Asher Sis Mangrava creates, or does it create its own community of itself?
Okay, exactly, right? So here's an important... Is it that you have a mitzvah which we would have exempted women, right? We would have said mitzvah sasei shahaz man grama, women are going to be pturis, but then we say, hold on a second, don't do it, don't let the women out of this mitzvah. This mitzvah is about a nace, and afen hayu also a nace. How could you exempt the women who were a part of the miracle and leave them out? You can't do it. So we haven't even discussed the question yet of what does Afen even refer to? Right? Does it refer to that they were subject to the same sakana? Does it have to do with them being the heroes of the nes? Is it somewhere in between? Is it both? That itself is going to be a major discussion. We haven't even got up to that yet. But whatever it means, Afen Hayu Ba'osu Hanes, so maybe it could mean that we were about to let women off the hook, and then we say, no, it's not right. They were also a part of this miracle, so they should also be chayav. Or should we say that no, whatever reason is going to exempt women is going to take effect. Women are pturis. Women are off the hook of this mitzvah because it's a mitzvah seisha as man grama or whatever it is. Women are pat. So what does Afhain come and do? Afhain creates a new obligation. Afhein now has its own chiyuv. So there's now an Afhein dika mitzvah of Hadlakas Neres Chanukah, of Kriyasa Megillah, of whatever it is. So what's the difference? Well, it could be a pretty big difference, right? That, let's say, when it comes to Mikra Megillah. So you could say that men are obligated in Mikra Megillah, women aren't, because it's a mitzvah seisha azman grama. And men are obligated in Divrei Kabbalah. Women, we're going to let them off the hook. Oh, no, wait. It's afen hayu ba'osu hanes. So we should keep them on the hook. Meaning that the mitzvah Divrei Kabbalah applies to men and to women. But if we say the second way, we say, no, Divrei Kabbalah, men are obligated in Megillah, women are. And Chazal came with the principle of Afen Hayu Boso Hanes, so now women are obligated. Are obligated on what level? Minat Torah? Divrei Kabbalah? Presumably, Midrabbanan. But Afen is presumably a Chiyuv Drabbanan. So then you could say, says the Tari Evan, that women can't be motzi men in Mikra Megillah, because men are chayavim on a level b'divrei Kabbalah, and women are only chayavos on a level b'drabanan. So therefore, in the Tari Evan's explanation, why can't women be motzi men? It's simply level difference. There's nothing beyond that. But basically, since their chiyuv comes from Afhain, that's a drabbanan. And then their chayavim midivrei Kabbalah, so that's a higher level. Doesn't fit with any terminology of shnia or kriya or any differently formulated chiyuv. It's just a different level. Now, if that's the issue there, then that could explain why there's no distinction in Chanukah. Right? Chanukah is not midivrei Kabbalah. Chanukah is midrabanan straight out. So then you could say, all right, so women chayavos afein, whatever afein does, it's also a drabanan, so then it's all the same. There's no reason to draw any distinctions within Hilchos Chanukah. But that position could explain why Chanukah yes, Purim no. Purim has a differential, and Chanukah does. Just mention as a footnote to this that there are some who want to suggest, based on this Lumdus, the problem is it's hard to make major nafkaminas based on Lumdus, that should say the nighttime Megillah reading should be different. Because there is a view that some want to suggest that maybe in the time of the Mishnah, the mitzvah of reading Megillah at night didn't apply. There's a tshuva about this in Binyan Shlomo, or Shlomo ben Vilna, and that maybe the Mr. Noda Behuda has a tshuva about it. Noda Behuda writes that reading Midivrei Kabbalah is only during the daytime. But at nighttime, it's Midrabanan. That what's referenced in the Megillah is only to read the Megillah once. This is an interesting topic, which is going to take us way out of our zone for Chanukah, if you want. We can come back to it Purim time. But he has a tshuva there where he says, what happens if you have a conflict between Kiddush Levana and Mikra Megillah at night? So he said, you might think that Mikra Megillah is a bigger deal because it's Midivrei Kabbalah. And he goes to say, no, nighttime is only Drabanan, so whatever it is. So there are those who want to suggest that women should be allowed to read for men based on that. It's a difficult position to take halacha l'maaseh, again, based on one hezbir and one shita, but that's where it comes from.
Two things. One, in Harin Ketam, the Rav brings down Chakira of the Rishka Rav in the name of Moshe Soloveitchik.
Okay.
So I'm just curious how that plays out with the Rav in the Sora Journal. Who makes a different distinction.
I mean, so how does he say in terms of the Har?
In Harin Ketam?
Yeah.
I remember.
Right, so it could still both be true. You know, these are independent questions no matter what. You know, the question, halacha l'maaseh, so what should one do in terms of the reading for men? And what's the nature of Afen Boso Nes? These are independent variables that don't have to be telling on each other. So,
and another question. How does the Briska Rav's distinction, where does that come from, this idea of there being this, you know, that women have their own view besides?
Well, it's a question, what do the words mean? You know, Afen Boso Nes.
Right.
Does it mean that Chazal made a new mitzvah because of that? Or does it mean that the exemption never kicked in? So it's really just about that. This is that, does Afhain suggest let's bring them in or let's not take them out in the first place? That's really that type of a question. So we can expand on this more tomorrow just to set up the stage for saying a little bit more. So the Tari Evan's explanation, again, has some elements in favor of it, some elements that are less so. But there is another angle to consider. So most other Achronim take a different approach. And so you have, if you want to kind of categorize them, So the Rav and the Magen Avraham was in a whole different angle, but it's not really Lomdusha distinction at all. It's a literal distinction between Shmiya and Mikra. And you can put him on one side of the spectrum. And the Turiyavin that we just mentioned is on another side of the spectrum because he doesn't really deal with concepts of Shmiya and Mikra at all. He just says that it's a difference in levels, so that it boils down to the fact that one's going to be doing the reading and one's going to be doing the listening. But it doesn't really root an explanation and a difference between Shmiya and Kriya. There's a vast middle. So many other Achronim could all be categorized together. And we'll go into detail about them tomorrow. But many other Achronim say that there's a formula. They just express the formula differently. And they say, differently from each other, and they say that you could break up Megillah into two parts. There's the mitzvah of Kriyas Megillah, which is an X factor. And there is Pirsumei Nisa. Two parts, Pirsumei Nisa plus X. And women are chayavos in Pirsumei Nisa. That's what Afin Hayubos Ohanes means, Pirsumei Nisa. So women are chayavos in that, but not X. Now X, as we'll see tomorrow, could be at least two or three or four different things. And X is what it is that means you can't be motzi men. Because men are chayavim in X and women aren't. And that's what drives the chiyuv of Mikra Megillah as opposed to Shmias Megillah. While Pirsum Hanes is connected to Shmias. So that's the basic foundation of the house. That's the skeleton. We have to fill in the rooms. We have to fill in what are the different possibilities for X. How does X explain why it's about Kriya rather than Shmiya? Why is Pirsum Hanes about Shmiya rather than Kriya? All the different parts that we'll have to pick up with tomorrow and see if we can plug it back in to Hanukkah. All right, who'd like to dive for us?
So, it looks like we're done here.